Welcome to our afternoon session today at Grace Baptist Church. And please turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Second Samuel, chapter 23. And I'll read verses 15 through 17. And David had a craving and said, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he did not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. Let's pray together. Father and gracious God in heaven, thank you for the word of the living God. Thank you for your grace and mercy by the Holy Spirit who helps us and teaches us from your book. We pray that you would guide our thoughts now as we consider this passage. We pray that you would open our eyes to understand and that you would teach us things that would be good for us and helpful to our souls. Have mercy upon us, Lord Jesus. And send your Holy Spirit upon us and guide us in our thoughts this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we looked at these three mighty men of David, Adino, Eleazar, and Shammah, and their great love and devotion to their king, their great exploits, and the victories they won for him. This afternoon, we continue with several observations from the passage. And the first is that these men became mighty by following David. They were not mighty at first, but they were made mighty by looking to and following their king. David himself was a man of war. 1 Samuel chapter 16, when King Saul was looking for a man to play the harp for him, one of his servants came to King Saul and said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite," and he described David as a skillful musician and a mighty man of valor, and the Lord is with him. David had learned how to fight as a shepherd boy while he was tending his father's flock. And whenever a lion or a bear came, David said, "I rescued it from its mouth, and when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him." And then we remember that great victory of David over the giant Goliath. The whole army of Israel was cowering in fear, and David came forward and said to Goliath, "You have come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, whom you have taunted." And David said, "The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And he took that stone from his bag, and he slung it with the sling, and the stone sunk into Goliath's forehead, and down went Goliath, and David took his sword and cut off his head, and the people of Israel rejoiced. And they said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And so it was with many other battles. David was victorious over the Philistines, the Amalekites, the Moabites, and others. He was a mighty man of war himself. And these men were inspired by their king. And they looked to him, and they learned their skills from David, and he taught them and set the example for them to follow. And the same is true with our King, the Lord Jesus. He is a mighty warrior against all of our enemies. And he has won great victories. He was tempted by the devil, and he has been tempted in all things as we are, but he resisted every temptation. And he lived a life of perfect holiness. And he conquered the devil by his cross, and he has defeated death by his resurrection. He has conquered all of our enemies, and we should be inspired by our Lord Jesus Christ as well in the Christian life. We learn from him, and we become more like him when we look to him and fix our eyes upon him. These three men were not mighty at the beginning. They became mighty when they looked to their King Jesus. And the same thing is true for us. We are not conquerors in ourselves, as Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 37. But we are made conquerors, more than conquerors, as we look to him as our great King. A second thing we should say this afternoon is that we should avoid excessive spiritualizing of Scripture. We should avoid excessive spiritualizing of Scripture. This morning, we looked at David's words here in verse 15, where we read that David had a craving and said, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And as soon as he spoke those words, we see in verse 16 that the three mighty men went out and they broke through the camp of the Philistines, and they drew water from the well of Bethlehem, and they took it and brought it back to David. And then at the end of verse 16, we read what David did. "Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord." And then he explained himself in verse 17. He said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" There are some misguided interpretations of this passage. Some have said that David, in his desire, did not really desire physical water, but he desired spiritual water, the spiritual water of the Holy Spirit, which was to be given by the Messiah. The town of Bethlehem, they would say, was the house of bread, where Jesus was to be born. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life that comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." And David, in his desire in verse 15, really wanted spiritual water of the Holy Spirit, whom the Messiah would give. And like he said to the woman at the well, "Whoever drinks of the water of this well will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." So some would say that David desired this spiritual water. Then there are others who would say that in verse 15, David was really thirsting after righteousness. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Then there are others who would say that these three mighty men, risking their lives for the water, for David, they are like Jesus, who gave his life for our salvation. But however true and attractive these ideas may appear to be, they seem to go too far in spiritualizing this passage. They do not fit with the overall context, and they seem extremely difficult to harmonize with David's response of pouring out the water, and then his words in verse 17, as we will see. These interpretations, they bring us into apparent contradictions with other parts of the passage, and they seem to be forced on the words. And so these interpretations are a warning to us that while we want to see Jesus and we want to see the truth of the gospel wherever we can find it in the Old Testament, yet it is possible at times to force Christ into passages and places where he is not really to be found. The third thing that we can say is that David expressed here an inordinate and an inappropriate desire. David's words in verse 15, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." The words make for an interesting story, do they not? And his words are not so innocent as they might first appear to be. I agree with Matthew Henry and other commentators in the understanding of David's words here, that he gives here an expression of an inordinate, foolish, and sinful desire. We see in the beginning of the verse, he had a craving, which means in other Bibles it is translated a longing, an intense longing for the water of this well in Bethlehem. A craving implies an inordinate and selfish desire, an intolerable desire on this occasion. Now, there was surely other water available to David at the time, which is other men, all the men that were with him were drinking. And David could have drunk that water as well, and it would have taken care of his physical needs, and he should have drunk that water, and he should have been content with what he had. But he indulged this foolish craving, and he set his heart upon this water in Bethlehem. And then he gave this rash expression to his desire, which he never knew what it would do to the men who were with him, and he never intended that it would cause them to go and risk their lives to obtain it. We do not in any way diminish the good deed that these three mighty men did in fetching the water for David, because they did it out of love for him, and their hearts were right in desiring to please their king. But David seems to speak here, perhaps out of distress and frustration at the time, because he was the king of Israel. And here he is, hiding in a cave, and he is an exile in his own land, and his own life is in continual danger, and his hometown of Bethlehem is now occupied by this enemy garrison of the Philistines. And perhaps David here is reminiscing about much easier times when he was a young boy back there in the peaceful town of Bethlehem. And as a young boy, he would gather at the gate with his relatives and friends. He would play with the other children. And on the hot days of the summer, he could drink from that cold and refreshing water of the well. It was a much easier and simpler time in his life. He was carefree, and his circumstances were very pleasant. But now he has the pressure and the responsibility of being king. And he is a man on the run, hiding for his own life in a cave with the army of the Philistines chasing him. Perhaps David felt sorry for himself on this occasion and wished that things could be as they once were. He was reminiscing. But his desires crossed all reasonable boundaries. Perhaps on another occasion, in another set of circumstances, it may have been proper for David to have desired water from that well and to give an expression to it. But it was not proper. It was not proper for him on this occasion while he is with these men hiding in a cave in Adullam. They are in danger of their lives. And here David gives an expression to a selfish desire that was only for himself and it was no benefit to anyone else that was with him. Oh, that someone would give me water to drink. Really, David? You're thinking only of yourself now and the water that you drink? While we're fighting the Philistines and we're hiding in a cave? It was inordinate. It was foolish. And it was selfish on David's part. David could look down toward the town of Bethlehem. He could see the garrison of the Philistines surrounding his village. He knew what would happen if any man went down there and tried to enter through and break through those defenses and fetch some of this water. It was, humanly speaking, it was an impossible desire. David wanted what God's providence had clearly prevented him from having on this occasion. In his present circumstances, this was not God's will. It was clear for him to have this water, but his desires were too strong, and he could not let it go. And so he gave expression to it. Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from that well in Bethlehem. And so it is with us as well. We too often want what we do not have. We want what God's providence prevents us from having. And we want what we ought not to have. And yet we still desire it. And we still insist on it. The best cure for this is to practice what Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 11. He said, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And I know how to get along with humble means. And I know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of both having abundance and suffering needs. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Notice that Paul speaks of the circumstances. In any and every circumstance, the circumstances that a man finds himself in is what makes the difference. And for David, in the circumstances of that cave in Adullam with the Philistines surrounding Bethlehem, this was not the right expression for him to have. Another cure of this is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, where Paul says that we should always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even God the Father. He should have been thankful for the water that he had, rather than for water that he did not. As the future king of Israel, David should have been mindful that any expression that he gave and what it would do to the men who were with him, and he should have been more careful in his expression. If any other man had said those words in verse 15, nothing would have happened. But this was David who made that statement in verse 15. And David was the king. And so his words had that great influence upon his men, and it sent the three of them down to fetch the water for him. David should have been more mindful of the words and the effects that they would have on others when he spoke them. So it seems that by the time these three mighty men returned to David, he had come to his senses, and he realized how foolish his desires had been, and how it had caused these men to unnecessarily risk their lives. And so even though he received their good deed as evidence of their love and devotion to him, we see at the end of verse 16, nevertheless, despite their love, their devotion, their sacrifice for him, nevertheless, he would not drink it, but he poured it out to the Lord, and then he explains why he did this in verse 17. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this, that I should drink the blood of men who went in jeopardy of their lives." David regarded himself as unworthy to drink water that had been obtained at the risk of other men's lives. And that water now appeared to him to be blood because they had put their lives in jeopardy. And therefore, what he did was, he poured out that water. But he did not just pour it out, he poured it out as a sacrifice to the Lord. He could not drink it, he was not worthy to drink it, but he poured it out as a sacrifice to the Lord. Because only the Lord has the right to require men to risk their lives. And he poured it out to him. So David shows himself here to be ashamed of his own foolish and selfish desire and his hasty and thoughtless wish for it. And he seems to acknowledge it and to regret what he had said. And then the last thing that we can say briefly is that David declares his well done to his good and faithful servants. His well done to his good and faithful servants. The first 7 verses of this chapter are the last words of David. And what follows in verse 8 down through the rest of the chapter is David's remembrance of all his faithful servants, his mighty men, and all that they had done for him. It is an honor roll of his mighty men, a remembrance of the deeds that they did in love and devotion to him and for his kingdom. We would not know these mighty men. We have not read of them and these deeds before. We would not know of them unless the Holy Spirit had brought about this passage of the Scripture. We would not know them unless David remembered them on this occasion. And here we can see and be reminded of what our Lord Jesus will do when he returns from heaven, that he will remember all that his people have done for him, even a cup of cold water given to one of his disciples. And he will give them his reward of grace on that day. He will give them the crown of life and the crown of righteousness. And he will say to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of your master." No matter how obscure, no matter how insignificant, inconspicuous our service may seem in the eyes of other men, and even to ourselves, it is not so with the Lord Jesus. No service of love to him will ever be forgotten in the end, and every deed of devotion to Jesus is of great value to him, and he will proclaim them publicly from his throne on the last day before all the nations, and he will say, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For as you have done these things to the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me." His well done to his good and faithful servants. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for our Lord Jesus, and all that he has done for us. We pray that you would give us grace and desire, and love and devotion to him, that we would walk with him in all of our ways, and that he would be pleased with us. Give us light and truth from heaven. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we might have wisdom and understanding in the circumstances in which we live, and that we might do those things that are pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and pray that you would hear us now, because we ask in your name. Amen.